Let's turn now to Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Hi, Julian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And what do you think of this moment right now after you watched the president's speech last night? We heard the Democratic response to it. Where are we at this moment, especially as an historian looking back at this? And this is almost about to be our longest shutdown ever.
Well, the unbelievable part is to hear the president make his case based on so many things that were not true, not grounded in the facts that his own administration puts forward. But the more predictable part is this is partisanship playing out. The key point right now is Republicans are sitting still and sitting behind the president, even though some privately understand that the longer this goes on, the steeper the political price they might have to pay for this shutdown.
You think they will continue to stick by him?
Well, a few have bolted, but a few is not enough to override a presidential veto. I do think there's a point in which partisanship will work against the president, meaning Republicans will say it's not in their interest to support him. That's always the greatest threat that he faces. But at this point, I don't see when that happens. I think we're still in a moment that's pretty safe for the president within his own party.
Which is interesting because, as you point out in your piece in the New York Times, the president is actually a pretty weak president right now when it comes to his popularity, the fact that he won the presidency but didn't win the popular vote. And yet Republicans are sticking by him and he is able to use the power of the presidency in pretty significant ways.
That's exactly right. He certainly uses it in terms of his ability to shape the national debate. He just did that in the last 2 days, right through now, where this is what we're talking about. He's been able to count on this very strong partisan loyalty to do what he needs to do without any kind of reprimand from his own party. And finally, the out might be he agrees to fund the government and turns to the emergency powers of the president, that executive presidential power, as a way to at least try to get the funding that he desires. So I think in many ways, presidential power might be the next step that he is looking to lean on to get what he wants.
What would that mean if he did that? Would that lead to a constitutional crisis if he used his own executive power to use basically military funding to build the wall?
Well, it would certainly lead to a challenge in the courts. That's without any question. And it doesn't seem like it would be a strong case to say this is an emergency that could justify these kinds of powers, but we'll see. And it could also lead to a clash with Congress, where under 1976 legislation, the House and then the Senate will have the ability to push back against that. So I don't know if it'll be a constitutional crisis. There are actually mechanisms to deal with him doing that, and we'll see if they play out.
What do you make of another column in the New York Times that's gotten a lot of attention the last few days from David Leonhard, who says basically the country would be better off impeaching Trump, removing him from office, then allowing the voters to decide what happens in a couple of years because he's causing so much damage to the country?
Well, I think there might be a case. I do think we need to wait. We need to see what the Mueller report says. I think we need to know what the courts find on these many other issues the president is now being investigated for. But to rule out impeachment is as big a mistake as it is to simply say move forward rapidly with impeachment. This is a legitimate process. There are very legitimate concerns about large-scale corruption in this administration. And if the facts point that way, I think the House Democrats will have no choice other than to start that impeachment process.
The only president who's ever resigned from office, as we've talked about with you before, is Richard Nixon. How do you see this moment now compared to that one, given all that's happened in the last many months?
It's pretty bad. I think if you collectively look at all the charges that this president is facing, both from the 2016 election to conflict of interest and obstruction charges to issues involving his business, they really are starting to add up. We are clearly in Nixonian territory, and I would argue if all this was true, we are even in a more severe situation. So in some ways, President Trump might end up overshadowing Nixon. We'll see. But I don't think it's unreasonable to start talking that way.
Well, do you think that this shutdown is going to be seen as some sort of a turning point in the Trump presidency?
It might be. The reason it would be is if it starts to have the effect of shaking that Republican support for the president. Again, not for principle, but for politics. They see this is too costly for them. If he loses support among Senate Republicans, he's in big trouble. That's his firewall, even more than Fox News. And so the question is, does the shutdown hurt him? He's already unpopular. So it's really, does it affect his popularity with congressional Republicans?
Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University and co-author with Kevin Cruz of the new book Fault Lines, A History of the United States Since 1974. Julian, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.